Here we are again. Isn't that nice? I don't know how you feel. In fact, I think you feel like that. I enjoy being with the Lord's people. I notice the folks at the conventions, they seem all worked up about this man and that man. You know who we're worked up about? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the beauty is, one day we're going to see him. Oh, how I look forward to that day. To see my Lord. Now we're continuing our study that we began a little while ago. Book of Judges, please. Chapter 16. Book of Judges, chapter 16. And the latter part of verse 20. Judges 16, latter part of verse 20. One of the sad verses in the Bible. It reads, he, Samson, knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Isn't that sad? Now, as we remarked before, we can't say that. The Holy Spirit will never depart from us. And the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, it's possible for us to leave him. But he never leaves us. Samson knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, turn with me, please, to chapter 13. Chapter 13. Much of this we looked at our last meeting, starting at verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, this is just by way of study. Why did the angel appear to the woman and not to the man? In the case of Abraham, the angel appeared to the man. And in other women who were barren, the angel appeared to the man. Why didn't the angel appear to Manoah? That's for study. We read on. Verse 3, behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come on his head, the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And we look into this matter of the Nazarite, Numbers chapter 6. What was a Nazarite? We won't read the whole chapter, but we note, as we did last time, that one word occurs at least 15 times in Numbers chapter 6. The word separate or separation. Chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves from the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of his separation, of his vow, no razor shall come on his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. Verse 6, all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Three things that were taboo where the Nazirite was concerned. No wine, not to shave his head, and to avoid the dead. And we want to study each of these three. Today we're going to take the central one. No razor on his head. So what is the significance of long hair? 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 10. The Nazirite was not to shave his head. What is the significance of the long hair? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have a covering on her because of the angel. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, nor the woman without the man. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man by the woman in all things. I just pause there. You know, that's the trouble with the world today. With all respect to you, sisters, and I believe in sisters, I believe in women. But they're doing the thing backwards. They're trying to get at the corporate level. And what are the men supposed to do? Stay home? Do you know that there is a device, it's in working, they don't tell you about it, you don't read about it, whereby the men will breastfeed the children? That's right. That's in the making. But the scientists don't tell you much about that. We read on. Judge in yourself, is it comely that a woman pray uncovered? Now, notice. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The Nazirite was to let his hair grow. What was its significance of? Reproach. Shame. It was degrading for a man at that time to have long hair. It was a shame. And our theme this afternoon is standing up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to look with me at some Bible characters. I hope you enjoy what we're going to read as much as I have enjoyed it. Acts chapter 7. Verse 22. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Do you think Moses was what we call a dumbbell? All the wisdom of the Egyptians. Why, we don't even know how they got those pyramids built. The Bible says Moses did. We don't know how they have paintings made in that day that are still to this day fresh and good looking. Moses did. I have been told that there are certain branches of mathematics that we call advanced math today that the Egyptians knew. That's how they could build the pyramids. And Moses was learned in all their knowledge. He had a lot of knowledge, didn't he? Now read with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses had much knowledge. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was born, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was going up in the world, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why, he might be next ruler of Egypt. He was high up there, high class. And he had all this knowledge. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses was not ashamed of God. Oh, Moses could have gotten up in the world. He was in the line of the Pharaohs. And he said, no, no. I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. Let's look at another character. We were reading about him today. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verses 37 and 38. Paul said unto them, who were these? The Romans. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. Paul was a Roman. And have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us. And the chiefs told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Now let me ask you, what language did the Romans speak? Latin. So Paul spoke Latin. You say, well, why do you bring that up? Chapter 21. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Chapter 21, verse 37. And as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, can you speak Greek? Oh, he not only spoke Latin, but he spoke Greek. How many here speak Latin and Greek? Paul was quite a fellow, wasn't he? Let's come down now to verse 37. We have just read it. He could speak Greek. Verse 40. When he had given him silence, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. The man spoke at least three languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Pretty smart fellow, huh? But we must read on. Romans chapter 1. With all this learning, and we didn't read it, but he studied on one of the leading teachers in that day, Gamaliel. You know how you go to school and you study under certain people? Oh, I studied under so-and-so. I studied under so-and-so. I got my degree under so-and-so. And Paul studied under one of the masters of that day and spoke three languages. Huh? That's quite good, isn't it? Now come with me, please. To Romans 1, did I say, in 16? Here is this man with all this learning. What does he say in verse 16? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My, my, my. All that learning, he wasn't ashamed. Philippians chapter 3. With all that learning, you'd think the man would forget the Lord and go get a big place in the world. Philippians chapter 3, bearing in mind all the learning that Paul had. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, all that learning, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as refuse. Now, beloved, don't do what I've seen some people do. They say, well, Paul said that education was refuse. He didn't say that. He said he counts it as refuge. He didn't say you shouldn't get it. And I would suggest to you, young folks, get as much learning as God has given you the capacity to get. But put it in the right place. Count it as refuge as compared with the work of the Lord. Paul was not ashamed. Second Timothy chapter 1. Paul was not ashamed. Second Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me his prisoner. Young folks, they're going to laugh at you in school. They're going to laugh at you at the job. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Verse 12. For which cause I also suffered those things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Remember now, this is this man that spoke three languages, studied under one of the leading teachers of the day, and he said, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed, brothers and sisters. And I repeat, especially those of you that are in school, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you several times, we'd go to scientific meetings, and they'd be serving what they call a collation. And brother, they didn't need you for what they served at the collation. There was nothing to chew. You did all drinking. Here comes God. He only drinks water. You know most of those fellows are dead. And God has been good to spare me to this day. Don't be ashamed. And then again, in that same chapter, verse 16, at my first defense, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. But I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Or you'll have to stand alone. But it will have a profound effect. I remember when I was in school, I had a roommate. Nice fellow. He was like Cornelius, you know, eh? Nice, well-mannered, well-dressed, good English. But he wasn't saved and didn't know the Savior. I don't say this boasting, but every night before I went to bed, I got on my knees and prayed. Do you know after a while he did the same thing? Don't be ashamed. And every night before I went to bed, I read the Bible. Christmas came and his folks asked him, what do you want for Christmas? These were depression days. Tough days. But his people were well off. And they would give him anything that he wanted. What do you want for Christmas? He said, I want a Bible. Is that all? That's all I want. Don't be ashamed to stand up for Jesus. Our brother George tells us that one time he went to a restaurant to eat and gave thanks. And the waitress came over and asked him as he was complaining about the food. Oh, they don't give thanks these days. It's like the little boy I told this recently. He was from a Christian home. He was invited to his friend's house and they sat down to eat. And they proceeded to eat without giving thanks, and he said to them, you do just like my dog. He doesn't give thanks. Don't be ashamed to stand up for the Lord and to give thanks. And then I think of a brother. Oh, I don't understand some believers. This was in Florida. After a meeting such as we had this morning, worship meeting. And he came up to me and he said, you know, I think you all, no, not you all, I think we make too much of the cross. I said, what do you mean we make too much of the cross? I think we emphasize the cross too much. I said, well, what should we emphasize? Well, there are other things to emphasize. I said, but Paul said in 2 Timothy, I glory in the cross. What do you mean we emphasize it too much, make too much stress on it? Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the cross. Read with me, please, in the book of Daniel. These are all scriptures that all of us know well. Daniel chapter 3. You know the story there of the three young men. We often hear of Daniel and the three boys. These weren't boys, these were young men. Daniel chapter 3. Start at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcet, and all kinds of music. Let me just pause there. All kinds of music. Don't you hear that today? All kinds of music. And whenever you hear all kinds of music, be suspicious. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall save you out of my hands? My, my, my. He sure thought a lot of himself. Notice verse 16, please. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we are not biting our tongues. We are not turning words around. We are not trying. We're going to give it to you straight. The big king Nebuchadnezzar. And here are these three fellows. We're going to tell it to you straight. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. If not, we will not serve you. We still aren't going to bow down. Well, that's what you call standing up for the Lord. That's what you call not being ashamed. And you know the rest of the story. Verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose in haste and spake and said, Did we not cast in 3 bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, yes. He answered and said, I see 4.
To me, that's thrilling.
Oh, you say, well, that was in those days. That doesn't happen today. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. God stand by you and with you. It has been said concerning these 3 men, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't budge, and they wouldn't burn. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Let me read something for you. It's called Step Forward. As a matter of fact, I only received this as a tract less than 2 weeks ago. Sam was the son of Christian parents, and in early youth he had given his heart to the Lord. He had already learned that God hears and answers the prayers of his children. This knowledge had taught him never to start the day without prayer to God. That's Sam. It was difficult for him to go from his peaceful home to the rough reality of camp life. But he was no coward. With a joyful heart, he fulfilled his duties as a soldier. His comrades thought well of him, but gradually they changed because he wouldn't join them in their filthy jokes and conversations. And that's real. I can tell you it's real. I still think it's true. There is one thing that physicians like to do, the majority of them. Gamble and drink. And they start in medical school on the weekend. And they laughed at this fellow. He wouldn't join them in their drinking. He wouldn't join them in their jokes. To listen was very painful to him and caused him to turn to the Lord for strength. Gradually, the number of those who were against him increased because he was not ashamed. As a Christian, his path became more lonely. Eventually, this came to the notice of the captain, who knew Sam was one of his best soldiers. It annoyed him to hear that Sam was so religious. They don't like
us. Do you know that?
And so he decided to have a little fun with Sam. One morning, when the captain reviewed his company, his attention was drawn to Sam. Suddenly the captain ordered, Sam, step forward.
Oh my.
Sam stood before the captain who commanded, sing your favorite song in the presence of this army. That was an unusual command. But Sam had to obey not only the captain down here, but his Lord above. And after a short silent prayer, he began to sing. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The first verse was finished. Sam was happy knowing his song was pleasing God, and the captain said, continue. And he went on through the verses. And as the captain heard those verses, he remained silent, and tears began to flow down the captain's eyes. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Sam stepped back. The captain said in a subdued voice, he was deeply touched. The captain said, I couldn't be ridiculed the way you have been. In reality, the captain was a coward, and Sam was a captain. Don't be ashamed to stand up for God. That's the civic significance of that hair, of not shaving the hair. What time is it? I'm finished. Stand up for Jesus. That's the message. That's the significance of not cutting the hair. Stand up for Jesus. Shall we sing that in closing, please? I believe it is hymn number 589. Oh, I have it here somewhere. I think it's 589. To be sung to the tune of 590. That's the more familiar tune. Stand up for Jesus.